Matthew chapter 3 this morning. Matthew chapter 3. This is a point of, I don't know, there's a lot of points, but point of controversy among folks. We're going to talk about baptisms today. And there are multiple baptisms in the Bible. Not all baptisms are created equal. And you're sitting here in a Baptist church, or Bible Baptist church, and there's a little irony to that in this. Baptist isn't a name that people took on themselves. It was a name given to a group of people who rejected baptism for salvation, baptism, infant baptism, and things like that, because they're not in the Bible. And so when folks, this group of folks would trust Jesus Christ, they would, one of the things they would do, according to the scriptures and several scriptures, they would, even if they were baptized as a baby or sprinkled as a baby, one of the things this group of people would do was they would make a public profession of their faith by being baptized. And so the Roman Catholic Church and some other churches gave the name Anabaptist to this group of people because they rejected infant baptism and baptism for salvation and baptism to put someone in the family of God and things like that. And so it's kind of ironic in this sense. The name Baptist is given to a group of people who believe less in baptism than most other religions. That makes sense? It doesn't save, it doesn't put you into the family of God, it doesn't give you the Holy Spirit of God, and I say all these things, I want to show you the several different baptisms in the Bible, and then hopefully teach you a little bit about this. But Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, I think when people hear the word baptism, there's maybe one particular thing that comes to mind, and I want you to understand there's more than just one baptism in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, there's actually three baptisms in one verse. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, John the Baptist says this, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me," that's talking about Jesus Christ, "he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." In verse 11, you see there's three baptisms in that verse. So right off the bat, you know there's more than one baptism. John the Baptist is baptizing and he's manifesting Jesus Christ to Israel. His, as the Bible says, he's a baptism of repentance by water. And he says, "But there's one coming after me who baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Now, he describes the fire in the next verse. Verse 12, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." All right, so the baptism of fire is something you don't want any part of. Some folks say, I got filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. You don't want to be filled with the baptism of fire. You don't want that. But Jesus Christ, later on in the Bible, he's going to pour out the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, onto people. And you'll see that. We'll read about it in Acts. But in the Bible, there are multiple different baptisms. One thing there isn't, and I'll say this before we get started or as we get started here, you'll never find in the Bible a baby being baptized. You'll never find infant baptism in the Bible. The reason that comes about is because people believe that baptism puts people into the family of God, and so the reasonable logic of that end was, well, let's just, as soon as they get born, baptize them. But that's not in the Bible. You won't find that in the Bible. You'll find these three here, John the Baptist baptizing with water under repentance. You'll find Jesus Christ pouring out the Holy Ghost in Acts. Then you'll find Jesus Christ returning and judging with fire, and he calls that the baptism of fire. So let's pray, and I want to show you these things. I'm going to focus on one today because we're going to do one today that is a believer's baptism, and I want it thoroughly explained. I hope it can be thoroughly explained, and I don't want people thinking what's going on is someone's getting saved. Nobody's getting saved. The people that get baptized have already been saved. They've already trusted Jesus Christ. This isn't to make them saved. This is a public testimony of something that's already happened to them. Okay? But we'll talk about that. But let's pray and we'll get to these things. Father, I pray that these things would be understandable today. I pray you'd help me say what needs to be said. I thank you that Sadie got saved. What a blessing. Lord, what a blessing. Just a blessing to have known her since we moved here and to see her get saved and now make a public profession of that. Lord, I pray that it would be thoroughly understood what's going on. And Lord, if anybody here is not saved, I pray today they would understand their need for Jesus Christ. And understand the only salvation is in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other salvation. There's no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. There's no salvation in being put in water. There's no salvation in any of these things. Only in Jesus Christ is there salvation. And Lord, I pray that'd be abundantly clear. And I pray we'd learn a little bit about what you said about these baptisms so we could have a more thorough understanding about how things change and how you've worked in history and how things have happened a long time here. And Lord, thank you for everybody that's here today, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, read that verse. I showed you there's you can see the three, there's three baptisms there, John's baptism. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of fire, all those things, they're different. So sometimes when people come to the Bible or they hear the word baptism, the first thought is water. I got to go under the water and or get sprinkled or something. You'll find baptism doesn't always have to do with water. Sometimes baptism is a bad thing. Baptism of fire, that's a bad thing. Not all baptisms are good, like we said there. Some baptisms are spiritual, where there's nothing, you can't see a transaction taking place. So all baptisms are not created equal. This seems to be a point of confusion among a lot of folks, and I, like I said, I just think it's a little bit ironic. The word and the name Baptist is applied to people who really believe less about baptism than most other religions. I mean, we don't baptize babies. We don't find it in the Bible, and it doesn't do anything. It doesn't put anyone into the family of God. It doesn't change anyone. It doesn't wash away original sin or any of those things. You understand, the only thing that washes away sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to get sins taken away. There's no other way to have sins forgiven but by Jesus Christ. So let's just look at a few of these and understand the differences, understand what we're going to do today. But look over here. Let's see. You read Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Let's look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'll show you something else. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Sometimes folks have the idea, I know some of you have the background, that baptism meant, or there was a second filling of the Holy Ghost where you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and you speak in tongues and things like that. That doesn't show up in the Bible. I mean, doesn't play out in the Bible either. I'll show you some verses on that. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. All right, so not by, this is for believers, folks who have trusted Jesus Christ, baptized into the body of Christ by a Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God. So that means that they aren't put in there by water. It's something you can't see, that transaction. When a person trusts Jesus Christ, one of the things that you don't see happen is, number one, that soul is put into the body of Jesus Christ, and you don't see that happen. You can't see that. You can't watch that happen. There's no physical manifestation of that. So here's a baptism. He says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. That's everybody. Folks who are believers in Jesus Christ partaking of the Holy Spirit of God, and it's a spiritual thing. It's not a water thing. It's not a fire thing. It's a spiritual matter. It's a spiritual baptism. No one speaks in tongues there. No one's getting saved there. That is some people who are being put into the body of Jesus Christ. I'll give you another one. You're in 1 Corinthians. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. This is the baptism under Moses. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat of the same spiritual meat? Did all drink of the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. What Paul's referring to is the Israelites leaving Egypt, going into the promised land, and Paul refers to that as being baptized unto Moses in a cloud. Remember, it was the cloud by day, the fire by night that led them out of Egypt into the wilderness, and they followed that thing around in the wilderness, unfortunately, for 40 years because of disobedience and all that. And so Paul says they were all baptized under the same cloud. And interestingly enough, almost all of them died without the promise, even though they were baptized under Moses' baptism. What I'm saying is not all baptisms are created equal. There are multiple baptisms in the Bible, and baptism is not something that saves anybody. Here's another one. You saw three over there in Matthew. Here's another one. Look over in Acts. We'll do this one. Tell you what, we'll jump into this one. Look over in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Verse 12. After Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, And I'm not going through every single baptism in the Bible. We could do a whole study on this thing, but I'll try to get to the point here. After the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, one of the things believers did after they've trusted Jesus Christ, you'll see it over and over in the book of Acts, is they were publicly displaying what had already happened to them. Look over in Acts chapter 8, verse 12. It says, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So after they believed, this is something they do after they believed. This isn't something they're doing to be put into salvation or anything like that. Now that they've trusted Jesus Christ, and after that, then they get baptized. All right, so this is Philip in Samaria. You see it, we could go to Acts chapter 2, Jerusalem, Judea, now you're in Samaria. Then in Acts chapter 8, look in verse 30. Oh, 35. Acts 8:35. This is an Ethiopian eunuch, and he's reading Isaiah, and he doesn't understand what he's reading. I'll tell you what, go back to verse 31. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian man's response is, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So he explains the scripture and explains, this is about Jesus Christ. And this Ethiopian fellow has been in Jerusalem. He's seen what's been going on, Passover and all that stuff. Verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. So that's a condition. If you believe, Philip says, okay, you can be baptized if you believe. That's a condition. This is why you don't see babies being baptized in the Bible like this. Because there's no profession of faith, there's no belief. You have to personally come to an understanding where you trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And just like this Ethiopian eunuch, Philip's question is, okay, do you believe this? And the Ethiopian eunuch says, yeah, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He says that in verse 37. Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. All right, notice a couple of things about this. The prerequisite to being baptized is someone believing Jesus Christ. Notice also, nobody's speaking in tongues, nobody's receiving some kind of outward gift. All that's happened is this guy makes a profession of faith and he says, what hinders me to be baptized? And Philip says, well, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he says, well, I believe that. And he says, okay, well then that's the prerequisite. This is a testimony of that. Here's another one. Look over in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. There's several of these. I don't know how many we'll go through, but Acts chapter 10 and verse 44. So here's what's going on in Acts. You've got Jesus Christ sends out the people, and he says it'll go Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. So it starts in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 2. The Israelites understand what they've done. We didn't look at that one. And like I said, I don't want to go through all these. Then what you just read over there in Acts chapter 8, at Philip, that's Samaria. Then you read in Acts chapter 8 later, Ethiopian eunuch, that's Africa. Now a fella who's an Italian in Europe is going to hear about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. This is Peter preaching to an Italian man named Cornelius and to his household. Verse 45, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. So they were surprised that on the Gentiles, that the gift of God would fall on these Gentiles. And they of the circumcision, verse 45, which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, all right, tongues is just different languages. And we don't have time to go through all that, but it's just different languages. For they heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as we have? All right, so here's people who have already, they've already trusted Jesus Christ. They've already, the Holy Spirit of God is already in them. So they're not receiving the Holy Spirit of God. They're not getting any more of the Holy Spirit of God. They're not getting saved. What's already happened to them, Peter says, all right, what forbids them to be baptized now? Can any man forbid water, verse 47, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So over and over, you have folks who have trusted Jesus Christ. You'll see it. Well, we won't turn to too many more, but you'll see it. They've trusted Jesus Christ. And when someone is baptized in water, this is a water baptism, it is a public testimony of something that's already happened to them. It's not, and that's why I say we kind of minimize it in that sense, that you're not, people aren't getting saved here. They're just publicly displaying something that's already happened to them. And so when Peter preaches to Cornelius and the Italian folks here, they've already trusted Jesus Christ. They've already received the Holy Ghost inside of them. And this is just a testimony of what's already gone on. So nobody's receiving the Holy Ghost through this. Nobody's getting saved through this. It's a public testimony of something that's already gone on. And I know I'm repeating that because it's so critical you understand this is not salvation. It is simply a public testimony of something that's already happened. Here's another one. And we won't go to too many more, I don't think. Look over in Acts chapter 16 and verse 15. Or verse 14. Acts 16, 14. Acts 16, 14. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful unto the Lord, come into my house, abide there, and she constrained us. You can read all that in Acts chapter 16 about they go over to Philippi and find Lydia, and she hears Paul. She hears the preaching. She believes the preaching. And then as a public profession of what she believes, she gets baptized. Later on in Acts 16, look at this one. Acts chapter 16 and verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, this is Paul and Silas are in prison, God opens the doors, and the warden is just fit to be tied here. He is scared out of his mind because all of his prisoners are about to go free, it looks like. Verse 27, the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. They thought they all left. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Not get baptized." They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in the house, in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. So here's this Philippian warden. Paul and Silas are in jail for preaching. They've been singing all night, singing hymns and praising God in prison, not. And in the middle of the night, God opens the doors, and all this warden knows is all the prison doors are open. All these prisoners are going to run free in the community. I am dead. And so that's all he thinks about. So he gets his sword, and he's ready to just commit suicide. He has not done his job. He can't keep these prisoners. And so Paul sees that, and he says, "Do thyself no harm. Stop. Don't kill yourself. We're all here." And so he gets a light, a candle, torch, whatever. He gets a light, and he looks around, and he sees the bars are all open, the gates are all open, the doors are all open, but all the prisoners are just standing there. And so after hearing Paul and Silas's testimony, probably all through the night and days that they've been in this jail, in this prison, after hearing all this, he's heard the word of God from these guys. He's heard them sing about it. He's heard them praise God. He's heard them probably pray out loud. And so Paul, he goes to Paul and he says, after this just catastrophic event here in the jail, he thinks everybody's gone. He goes to Paul and he says, what do I need to do to be saved? And Paul says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Not get baptized, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so that's what this Philippian jailer does. He believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes these guys home with him. He has them preach to his family. And so they preach to his family. It looks like the whole family trusts Jesus Christ. They all get in on this. And then after all of that, it says, then they were all baptized. So it is recurring. It is just a public profession of something that already happened to them. So I'll maybe give you one more. I don't know. Let's see. I tell you what, yeah. Look in Acts chapter 18. I'll give you this last one. Acts chapter 18, verse 7. Acts 18:7 says, "And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue." This is Paul traveling here. Verse 8, "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed, and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. I am with thee, and all that. Verse 8 explains it. Many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So that was the trend of things. That was how it went when a group of people were found back there in the early church in the early days, and they would believe on Jesus Christ. One of the things they would do as a public testimony was they would get baptized. And this is a particularly baptism in water. This isn't the fire baptism. This isn't the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This isn't baptism of John. This isn't any of those things. This is baptism under the name of Jesus Christ. And it's because somebody has trusted Jesus Christ. So it happens over and over. And I just wanted to be very clear what's going on here, so there's no confusion about it. But because it seems to be such a point of confusion. But what you won't find, again, you won't find babies being baptized this way in the Bible. You won't find unbelievers being baptized this way. You won't find folks who have never trusted Jesus Christ, who've never put their faith in Jesus Christ being baptized. The only people who submit to this kind of baptism is people who have trusted Jesus Christ, and now they're just making a public profession of it. So there again, there's a few more verses we can look at. We're not going to look at them all, but if you watch the trend of this thing in Acts, it goes Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. You see it in Acts 8, Africa is affected. You see in Acts chapter 10, Europe is affected. You see in Acts chapter 18 and 19, Asia is affected. And so it just goes out and out and out. And there's two things that the Bible prescribes as a public memorial or remembrance of something Jesus Christ has done for you. The first thing is the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a remembrance of the body of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done for you. Remember the Lord's Supper? It's the you know, bread and grape juice and all that stuff. It is a remembrance of the body of Christ. The second thing is baptism. That's also a remembrance of the body of Jesus Christ in death, burial, and resurrection. So there's two things that are a testimony of something that's already happened: the Lord's Supper, baptism. And those are the only two things. There's not a whole lot of sacramental stuff to do and all that. They are both, like I said, a testimony of something that's already happened. So with all that said, I hope that makes some sense to you. Today, it's been a real blessing. Sadie, somebody we have, when we first moved here, Sadie was somebody who, she was our neighbor, and I'll say it's been a blessing to get to know her and to see her get saved, to trust Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she asked me last week about getting baptized, and told me about going to camp and things like that. And anyway, we talked a little bit about it, and she understands what this is and what she's doing, and it's a public profession of something that's already happened. She's not getting saved. Sadie is saved. She's trusted Jesus Christ. And she can tell you, and she probably will a little bit, but she's trusted Jesus Christ. So what she's going to do today is make a public profession of what she's already done and let you know that she has trusted Jesus Christ. And so it's a it's a privilege, it's a blessing to watch, you know, it's hard to believe we've been here five years now already, but 5 years we move in and get to know Sadie and watch her grow a little bit and watch her get saved, and now